When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the Florida Hockey Podcast. Justin Bedford alongside Noah Russo. How are you doing this week, buddy?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm excited for this one. This is the first time in a year where we've done an in-person podcast where we're able to be together to record. So I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to this one. It's been a couple weeks, I think, since we've recorded an episode. So lots to talk about, lots of things going on. Usually we do like to talk a lot about, you know, some of the other stuff just going on around the league with other teams, just hockey in general. And there has been a lot going on, but because we've been off for a little while, I think we'll just stick to Panther stuff. And we'll start off with the NHL draft, which was a few weeks ago. Panthers obviously having later draft picks, none in the first or second round. But they were able to grab some, I think, some pretty decent players with some of their picks. Is there any one or two players that really stands out to you as being good value and potential NHL players?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always a fan of the WHL guys. So Merrick Ashler and Josh Davies, that was pretty cool to see. I thought everything considered with, you know, you go into the draft, your first pick is in the third round. You're obviously not going to get a very high profile, you know, one of those top high profile prospects. But I think all things considered, Bill Zito and his squad did a pretty good job of kind of reeling in that draft. I know we talked about it a little bit off air, but, you know, to get Jack Devine in the seventh round, you know, coming off of the national championship with Denver, I think anytime you can get your hands on a guy like that, that's pretty cool. And the fact that he dropped to the seventh round, right?
Yeah, looking at their draft, I did a lot of work going into this one, looking at players. To me, I think they got really good value later in the draft. Like in the sixth and seventh round, I like Josh Davies as a player. He's a bit small, but he's got a good motor. Jack Devine, I think, is really, really good value that late. I was surprised he was available in the seventh round. Early on, they take Merrick Ashler. I think a few picks later, Nick Moldenhauer went from the Chicago Steel. I'm a big fan of Nick Moldenhauer, but he had a pretty good year with Chicago, but he had mono for the first half, so it took him a while to kind of get up to speed. But I get it. Take a D, right? Like, their first two picks were defensemen. Obviously, that's where the priority is for the Panthers in terms of their prospects and what they need. So I like the Ludvig Jansson pick as well from Sweden. I think he's going to be a really solid defenseman, maybe an NHL player. I think they, you know, they did well with what they had, but they didn't have much. The goalie they got as well from the USNTDB, Tyler Muzelik. I think he's probably one of the better goalies in this draft. there were some goalies that went before him that I think, quite frankly, suck.
You know, I remember seeing, and especially for the North American rankings, seeing the rankings when they came out and being like,
Tyler Brennan
first. Like, it didn't really make sense to me. I thought Reed Dick was better than Brennan in just the WHL.
Bigger too.
So I try not to take into account those rankings that came out of the NHL and subsequently from all the major outlets. So to me, it just really seems like, you know, you might hit a home run with any of these goalies just because of how little it seems that it's been tracked. I don't really know why.
There's no high profile goalie this year. Like, it's not like the last few years where there's been some good ones. I think it's kind of similar a few years ago when Roberto Luongo was obviously very high on Devin Levi. That turned out to be a really great pick. I imagine he had a lot of input on taking Muzelic there. So, you know, who knows? He could be a stud there late, but a bit of unknown, and we'll kind of see where any of these guys go. But it's a solid draft class with what they had, but they didn't have much for picks.
No, exactly. But yeah, in all, it's hard to tell, right? It's hard to gauge just off of seeing these names. You try and like picture them in an NHL game, and it's always tough. But you know, I think they did a good job. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I think you're hoping for one or two of these guys at least to push for an NHL time, mm-hmm. and that would represent a successful draft, but that's years and years away.
Exactly. We're looking at minimum 2 to 3 seasons away for the best of these guys.
Yeah, that's just the reality.
That's the reality.
But I imagine we're going to be looking at a lot of drafts like this in the future for the Panthers because they have like no first rounders ever.
That is correct. we'll talk about
it. Oh, we'll talk about why later.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's a little concerning, and not necessarily concerning in the sense that, you know, you don't have access to those high-end prospects that are available in the first round, and that is a very important aspect, but there's also the aspect of, like, you have zero assets to give up at the deadline, because what happens every year
is teams, a first round for a deadline.
It's always a first
round. Right, and that's what they did last year, and they just don't have that now for years and years to come. Before we move on, though, I'm curious, because we haven't really talked much about the draft privately or anything, but what did you think about Shane Wright going number 4?
You know, I was very surprised when it happened, as was the entire building. But, you know, you start thinking about it after, and it kind of makes sense. And the first giveaway for me was that COVID year, where he didn't do anything. Didn't play hockey.
I just vibed.
He just vibed. And I think to go first overall, you need to be like beyond dedicated to the sport. And to me,
There are a lot of guys who went over and played somewhere else.
That's the thing. Like, I'm not, like, had no OHL player gone overseas, I would have been like, it's not that big of a deal. But the fact that OHL players actually went overseas and played, that's, you don't really have an excuse at that point. It's kind of, it's disappointing to see. And I also heard, like, just wasn't as dialed as everyone else at the combine. And the other thing I heard is his draft interviews were apparently not great.
Yeah, I imagine, there were some red flags that came up with teams. I don't doubt, I've been pretty low on Shane Wright all year. Not, like, low on him, but saying he's not the guy. And that is one of the reasons. I think he's still going to be a great player. I think it's great value for Seattle there with that pick. And he fits really well with what they're trying to do. But it makes sense. It's not a total surprise that he would drop. I think if he was going to drop at a 1, then he was going to drop all the way to 4.
Yeah, exactly. Because, if you look at it, I think New Jersey was always going Nemich. They needed...
Well, Slavkovsky was there. They were going Slav.
Yeah.
But when Slav was off the board...
You know, they needed a D. They did not need a center. They're already pretty much set at center. They have 3 fantastic young centers. I don't think they need to touch that. So right there, Wright isn't an option. And then I was a little surprised he didn't go to Arizona, but I think Arizona was really, really high on Cooley.
I think it's a combination of them being really high on Cooley, but for Arizona, they have to think about, they're playing in a college rink for the next few years, right? they need someone that wants to be there, that's happy to be there. And you mentioned Shane Wright, maybe, you know, not interviewing well. Maybe he did not like the idea of playing in that small an arena.
Because, I mean, if you're Arizona, if you're Bill Armstrong, who, by the way, looks like a Disney movie villain.
Absolutely.
Terrifying. If I'm a player and I'm shaking his hand, I'm like, holy shoot. Like, this is scary. But, like, that's a question I ask to every single prospect. Like, hey, like, you heard all the stuff about us playing in a college rink for the next 3 years. What do you think about it?
Yeah.
Like, do you want to play in the college rink, you know? Like, and I think I'd actually be really interested to hear what the different prospects how, said about that. Yeah. Because that would definitely be a question I'd be asking if I was Bill Armstrong.
Yeah, like, early in the draft. Later in the draft, you're like, oh, by the time this guy's ready, we're probably hopefully not playing in a college rink.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, but with your first-round pick, you need a guy.
And they definitely interviewed, like, a ton of guys, considering they had the third overall pick.
Yeah, so I think I'm not totally surprised he went at four. We'll see how he does. I use the comparison of Nolan Patrick every time. Basically the same player.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, a little bit Seth Jones-ish.
Ooh.
Just in the sense that, like, he dropped. He was kind of 1 and 2 for first overall. And then a couple teams passed on him, and everyone was like, whoa, what's going on? Really reminded me of that exact situation.
Yeah, where I don't think...
But, like, it's hard to compare. Like, Seth Jones was a D, and, like, obviously now he's extremely overpaid. But
he was, it was kind of a bit of a battle there at first.
It was him and McKinnon, yeah.
And then everyone figured, you know, everyone remembers kind of the audio of the Panthers go, they pick Barkov, and I believe it's Pierre McGuire going, like, what are they doing? You got Seth Jones right there. You don't need this random dude from Finland. That's a horrendous take, obviously, aged terribly. But kind of a similar thing where a guy projected to go higher slips a little bit.
Exactly.
And Arizona also, by the way, second round, they took Artem Dutta, my guy. 30-something overall.
Oh, like, yeah. And
so they win the draft.
Yeah, I think it was a really good draft. Like, it was just, it was fun. I'm sure it was a ton of fun to be there, but it was also just fun to watch on TV. Like, it was the first, like, in-person one.
In a couple of years.
In a few years. So it's just really good. Really good experience from, I mean, my couch or...
Yeah, like, being there, it was really cool. I also really appreciated, teams were very fast with their picks, and I really appreciated, like...
On the second day?
Yeah, like, we were like, oh, we got there, like, the draft starts 11 a.m., we're like, ah, oh, like, when are we going to get out of here? We were, like, outside Montreal, like, 3 p.m. It was perfect. We were, like, gone.
No, teams were really, really quick with it, and, it was really cool. Got to hear some trades, which was pretty nice.
Oh, it's
and,
always the best part.
Appreciating what Chicago is doing and trying to figure out what the hell it is. It's like a puzzle, but every time you think like you figured it out and you've like finished it, there you just find another bag of pieces to assemble.
Yeah, well, and I think Chicago, it's like you can't predict Chicago's next move because they don't know their next move.
Precisely.
Right. So I love the unpredictability. Yeah. Lots of that going on this offseason. Secondly, though, let's get into free agency, where. I love free agency. It's always so much fun. We'll talk about what the Panthers did in a bit, but I want to know what are your best and worst signings from the first few days there of free agency?
Obviously, like, I was Giroux to Ottawa, we kind of heard what was happening.
Yeah.
I was, Ottawa did a really good job. Like, let's face it, Ottawa did a really good job. You know, they brought in DeBrincat, they brought in Giroux. I was, it's kind of hard to, like, think about it. Free agency was a bit ago. Detroit signings were really good. To be honest, Detroit didn't make a single, like, super high-profile signing, but they made a lot of lower-profile ones that I think every single one of those were like very, like,
very, very good signings.
Very, very good signings. And maybe they might have even gotten, you know, just a little bit undervalue for the guys they got.
Yeah, I think they did a really good job of getting good value on guys. For me, the best signing is probably it's Johnny Gaudreau to Columbus.
Yeah.
I think that that's the big one. It was a surprise to everyone that he picked there.
Yeah, and I mean, there was a ton of media like stuff around it after he signed. You know, he went on Spit and Chicklets. I didn't hear that episode. I don't
even know. No, I read his Players Tribune article.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up, and I saw a really good Athletic article, and it's really interesting to hear from him what went down. And it's really interesting that, you know, every single team that we had thought would be involved, so Philadelphia, New Jersey, Calgary, Islanders, Calgary. Like, I don't even think he got an offer from the Flyers.
The Flyers bottled it.
By the way, they blew it. Like, because he wanted to go to Philly. Philly was his number one.
Yeah.
Like, he wanted to go to Philly.
Yeah, I think everyone. That was no secret. Everyone knew that.
And what Chuck Fletcher is doing, frankly, comes in second to Kyle Davidson, but I don't know by how much.
It's close. It's really close. It's
really close.
I did look. Did you hear the Chuck Fletcher press conference? He was talking about it, and he said, you know, I would have had to do too many things in order to bring in Johnny Gaudreau. It's like, oh, my goodness, you would have had to do your job to get yourself a much better player.
Exactly, and, like, maybe by not signing
Tony D'Angelo.
Like, I did not like that move.
Rasmus Ristolainen.
Exactly. Like, they made some really odd moves that you go, like, that's just...
What are you doing?
But like at the end of the day, they kind of had it like in their hands and they fumbled it. I was really surprised, and then Calgary offered him a ton of money. And the fact is, if he signs an 8-year deal in Calgary, he is retiring as undoubtedly, like you can't even argue, the best Calgary Flame to ever play.
Iginla?
I think Gaudreau, like, his numbers would be better than Iginla's by the end of his career.
But it's Iginla.
I know it's Iginla, but...
I think he's top two.
I think that, you know, you give him 8 more years, Matthew Tkachuk stays, and you're looking at a really, really good, like, shot at him being the best Calgary Flame of all time.
Yeah, it's possible.
And, I mean, and obviously that's never like a guarantee, but to have that opportunity, I thought would maybe kind of move him a little more.
Yeah.
And just the amount of money, like he left at least $20 million on the table.
For sure. And he's made a good amount of money. He's going to make a good amount of money. You know, he's earned, you know, as much as it sucks for Flames fans, he's earned, you know, the ability to go where he wants to play. Columbus, interesting choice. Not many people saw it coming. But my pick for worst signing is also Columbus, because they signed Erik Gudbranson for $4 million a year. And I just... Columbus, another team where I'm just like, what are you doing this offseason? Because you get Johnny Gaudreau, best free agent available by far. You then overpay Erik Gudbranson, now you're in a cap crunch. Then you overpay Patrick Laine, so you're in a cap crunch. So you lose all of Bjorkstrand for nothing, who's one of your best players. So it's like one step forward, two steps back. You're kind of about the same-ish.
You know, a lot of teams created more question marks for me.
Yeah, where I'm like, they do some good and then some bad, and I'm...
Exactly. So it's going to be really interesting to see. I thought New Jersey did an okay job. You know, everything considered, you know, they brought in Pilat. I thought that was good. They kind of, they got Vitek Vanacek. They made some good moves, I thought.
I thought they paid maybe a little too much for Vitek
Vanacek. They probably did.
But they got him. So fair enough.
So it's gonna be really interesting to see what happens. Like, there's a lot of possibilities for next season. But, I mean, yeah, it came down to a personal thing for Johnny Gaudreau, right?
Yeah, and you can't fault him.
You can't fault him for being wanting to be closer to his family.
No, you can't. Like, you as an athlete, like, he's been away for a long time. He mentioned in his article, you know, a lot of the reasons and COVID, and, you know, he had family members that were, you know, not well. It's understandable, you know, these people at the end of the day. What about the Panthers, though? Do you like what the Panthers did in free agency, considering they had no money?
I was gonna say they didn't have any money and they didn't really spend any money. They didn't do anything, in my opinion. They added some depth pieces, which was nice, but it's I don't think it's anything that's gonna like really change the makeup of your team going into next season.
I think it was conservative signings that made sense, but I'd say just looking at free agency, and we knew this was gonna happen for just money reasons, is there's only so much money you can spend. We knew they were going to get a little worse.
Well, yeah, cause, like Mason Marchment, you saw what he signed for in Dallas. I love Mason Marchment. I think he's a great player. There's no way the Panthers were going to be able to pay him that much money.
No, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So you lose him, but...
What? You lose Giroux. There was no way you could sign Giroux.
Like, you're losing guys that you just couldn't afford to keep. That's just what happens when you're up against the cap. That's just, it's sad. It sucks because both those guys, I loved having them on the Panthers.
Yeah.
But they weren't going to be able to bring them back.
It's funny though, because Mason Marchment leaves the Panthers the same year that Dennis Mulgan
returns to the
Leafs. Very different contracts for both of the players.
Very different players.
They were traded one for one at a time.
One for one. Horrendous deal from the Leafs. classic them.
Classic.
Other than that, like, I think Colin White and Rudolph Ballsters, to me, kind of a bit similar to Carter Verhaeghe when he first signed. They're guys who have good underlying numbers. They've had a bit of success, and you're hoping maybe they got a bit more they can give. They come in, they play our system. Maybe they can provide more value in those deals. So those are two low-risk signings that I really, really liked. And then just veterans.
Yeah.
Chris Tierney, veteran. Going to look great in the minors. Michael Delzato. I actually don't mind Michael Delzato as a player.
I think he's okay.
I think he's downright fine if he's on your third pairing. It's not going to hurt you. Mark Stahl is old.
Yeah, that was one that puzzled me. I don't know. I thought he was kind of over. But and then the PTO to Eric Stahl. I know for a fact Eric Stahl is washed.
But he had a year off. What did he do in that year off?
Went to the Olympics.
And? That was fun.
Yeah.
Didn't win anything.
He went to China.
Yeah, so like, he could still maybe play. He's an Olympian.
Yeah, I don't see him. You know what it reminds me of? That year that the Boston Bruins brought in Brian Gionta.
That was a great move.
It's like the same type of move that's not going to pan out, and just nothing's going to happen. But if there's no risk in it.
You're hoping they never see the ice. And I think their value is, I think maybe with the way the Panthers went out in the playoffs, you know, and the stuff about them being the strip club, I think maybe there's a sense from management there was just a bit of immaturity in the group. Mm-hmm. So you bring in some veterans who have been there, and you hope that kind of that can guide your team a bit in the right direction. Similar to, like, they had Joe Thornton last year, right? Just kind of replacing that older veteran voice in the room. And if you're going to bring in one Stahl, you might as well bring in another.
Yeah. I that was obviously the reasoning. But really interesting. Not stuff I was, like, expecting. But, you know... You got to remember it's the cap space.
The cap space. They were never going to be in. And also, there are still some guys available who could potentially be a fit on the Panthers.
Yeah.
You mentioned if the money was right, the Panthers would have to move some out. Is PK Subban on a low AAV?
Again, for a year, $1.3 million? Just bring him to Florida. That guy is vibes. And he's a good person.
Good team player.
And I feel like there's already egos in the dressing room that he wouldn't try and monopolize it. He knows his space. Bring in PK.
Oh, my goodness.
And PK, this came up, like, on my Twitter timeline not too long ago. He did this, do you remember when he did the Don Cherry impersonation on, was it Sportsnet at the time?
Yeah.
He has that. Name another NHL player who has that. Now, you might say PK Subban is exactly the like most adept hockey player nowadays, which I agree.
He just sleuplets people. That's all he does. He can't move, so he just takes him out from behind. But, like, if he was cheap, maybe. Like, some other guys, too, like Phil Kessel, if he was cheap. I think Brett Connolly is probably a pass for me. But there are still a couple of guys available that you would...
I mean, Brett Connolly had that 30-goal season with the Panthers that one year.
I don't think he did.
He didn't?
Brett Connolly, I think he's got, like, no goals ever.
Could have sworn he scored a ton for the Panthers that one year.
22?
Oh, 22. I was thinking of that year.
With the Capitals?
No.
19 with the Panthers.
Yeah, maybe I was thinking...
It's, like, almost a 30-goal pace.
It's, like, it's not far. It's just, like, 11 goals. That's, like, 11 shots.
Exactly.
He shoots 11 more times that season. He's got 30 goals.
Yeah, and I'm thinking Brett Connolly's probably... It's probably a no for me. But there are some guys. There's some guys available. And I think this stuff, like, the cap space makes it so difficult. You got to move money out. That's just the way it is. And this team is handicapped, really, by... some deals that weren't really signed by this regime, like with buyouts that they've had to make, with Bobrovsky making 10.
I mean, frankly, you look at, there's the, like, for the forwards, you look, there's Patrick Hornquist deal. You would certainly like to move that. But then, like, Zito signed Barkov, which is fine. Kachuk, which we'll talk about. Sam Reinhart, that was a Zito deal.
Yep.
6.5. I think that's agreeable.
Yep.
Sam Bennett at 4.4. Agreeable. I think that's actually probably underpaid.
I think him for Hagee and Duclair all probably underpaid
and,
a little.
You know, so we're looking at that. Then E2, Lurestorainen. And, like, with E2 and down, you're looking at maximum $1.5 million contract. So you can't really say, like, offensively it was that bad, and then defensively you're just looking at the Ekblad contract, and that's pretty much it for
big contracts. And everything else is, but it's just all like the debt that they've had.
But that goes to show how freaking big the impact is of that Sergei Bobrovsky deal.
Yeah,
I think that's really what handicapped, like, when you look at it on paper, is that's the one, like, contract that you look at and you're like, what the actual fuck?
Because if you had an extra $5 million in cap space, it opens up so many opportunities for you. It really changes the entire makeup of the team.
Precisely.
You mentioned Matthew Tkachuk, though, and we've been waiting on it. The Matthew Tkachuk trade went through last night. Matthew Tkachuk, Florida Panther, signs an 8-year deal, the first ever sign and trade, 9.5 a year for Jonathan Huberdeau, Mackenzie Weegar, a first-round pick, and Cole Schwind. What was your initial reaction on the deal?
Initially, when I saw Huberto's name going back, it was goddamn it.
Well, there was a lot going on.
I mean, there was a roller coaster of emotions last night. Yeah. There was that. So that initial thought was, goddamn it, Weegar and Huberto.
Yeah.
That's huge. And then, of course, we give up another freaking first round pick.
Well, what even is a first round pick?
I don't even know what a first round
pick is. There are kids anymore that have, like, probably been fans of the Panthers now for a couple of years. They aren't going to know what a first round pick is.
Precisely.
Until they're in their early teens.
Precisely. So, like, from that vantage, that was the initial reaction.
And
then
after that,
you're going into justification mode, and you're trying to just, like, reason out loud what the hell just happened.
Yeah. Well, and I think the reaction immediately on Panthers Twitter, there were some people that were thrilled at the deal, and there were some people who were, you know, fire Bill Zito mode.
Yeah.
He's ruining this team. Look at what he's given up. He was on such a hot start, made us a contender, and he's torn it down in, what, like 5 months? And I think if you just look at it as straight up, like, the hockey players involved in this deal, you lose this trade. Like, Matthew Tkachuk, he's the best player in this deal in my mind.
I agree.
Right.
He's... But when we say the best player, not necessarily just, like, pure output, but the best player in terms of all of the variables,
yeah,
included. His age, his existing contributions, what he's done so far, his physical. Like, all, I think with all those variables, yeah, he is the best player in this,
yeah,
trade. One, without a doubt.
But I think Huberto combined with Mackenzie Weegar, because those guys are two very good hockey players, and I know both of them didn't have great playoffs, but I think you could argue that those two together are more valuable than Matthew Tkachuk. in a vacuum based solely on playing ability. But that's not the only factor in a trade, and you have to look at, you know, everything that goes into it. Number one, the cap space. I think Matthew Tkachuk at 9.5 for 8 years is a hell of a deal. I think that's tremendous value for him as a player. And the reality is you're going to pay a lot more if you were going to try to re-sign Uyghur and Huberto.
Yeah, and the other reality is that, like, do you even want to sign Huberto to an 8-year deal?
You probably don't. Like,
he's going to be 30. Like he's 29 now. Okay, he just turned 29, sorry. Yeah, so he'll be 30 when he's signing his next contract.
Yeah, and the AAV on his next deal will be about around what Tkachuk's is, give or take $1 million.
Yeah. In fact, I think it might go down just slightly.
Yeah.
Because of the trade. I think his AAV. So I think he's probably a little pissed, if not a lot pissed.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, a lot pissed, actually, because he had a no trade until like June 30th, and then he has an 8-team no trade after that, and that's when, you know, like, Zito waited to make the deal. So my guess is he was already thinking about it before.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, like, Tkachuk only recently became available. Yep. Right. But with Huberto, it was going to cost you a lot to re-sign him, and you were probably going to have to pay him a good amount of money for the declining years of his career.
For more years than you'd like.
Right? Like, you're paying him until he's 38 years old. It's not going to work out well, especially the last few years of this deal.
Yeah.
But Matthew Tkachuk is going to give you 9.5 value, guaranteed, I think, throughout the duration of that deal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because
he's 24 years old. He's going to be 32.
You got a guy who's arguably better, and he's 6 years younger. That deal takes him to 32. Even if at 32, right, you're on the decline, right? Like, but 9.5 is not going to be much of the cap by then.
His first, like, four seasons, or I guess this is his sixth. Like, he's 24, and this is already going to be his seventh NHL season. That is impressive. But his numbers thus far through seven seasons, I think, are better than what Huberto's were through seven seasons.
Yeah. And you think about it now, he's going to be playing with the most talented line mates he's ever had in his career. Like, he put up 115 points last year with Elias Lindholm, who's a great two-way center, but he's not anywhere close to Barkov.
No.
And you have Johnny Gaudreau, who, yes, maybe is slightly better than Carter Hagee.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to compare him to Barkov as well.
Oh, no.
Because I think Barkov is better than any player that Tkachuk has ever played with.
I think he absolutely is.
Yeah.
And I think those two together on a line is going to work really well. Neither of those guys are fast guys. And Tkachuk, to me, he's a unicorn-type player. There's no other player like Matthew Tkachuk in the NHL.
And, let's talk about grit.
Like, it's the intangibles.
I don't think Uyghur or Huberto had anywhere combined as much grit as Tkachuk brings. Like, he does not have any fear of getting his nose dirty.
No, he'll go to the dirty areas. He draws a ton of penalties.
He does.
Which is incredibly valuable to a team. And I think he wore an A in Calgary. He's a good leader.
Yeah, and, you know, I do like analytics for some things. But, I wouldn't necessarily, buy that much into this. But according to Evolving Hockey on Twitter, they posted this. The projected GAR next season, which I think is goals above replacement.
Yeah.
Matthew Tkachuk, 15.8 game goals above replacement. Huberto, 8.7. Uyghur, 7.8. Combined, they're pretty much coming in at the same spot. Like, that's impressive.
Right. And I think the big thing with this deal is you've got the best player in the deal coming your way. You had to give up a lot. Like, there's a lot to give up, but you're expanding your window as a team.
Yeah. The one thing that I don't like, and somebody texted me, said, well, what about, you know, trading away Uyghur? He's a top 4 D. Like, those don't really grow on trees. And I was like, well, you know, he had such a bad playoffs. He had one assist in 10 games.
Yeah, and it was like,
he was just really bad in the playoffs. And I don't want to, like, I don't want to say that, like, his entire career came down to that, but right there you go, you thought you had a performer, and now you're doubting whether or not you have a performer. The thing for me is that you can always trade a first-round pick for a top 4D. I think you can always find one. The problem is you traded it away. So my big thing in this trade is that by trading away your first-round pick, no, you're not giving away a prospect. You're giving away leverage that you had to, you know, like, get that top 4D maybe, you know, to make those moves to make your team better. Now your assets are looking really, really, like, shallow.
Yeah.
And now you're thinking, what is it going to take at the next deadline to get someone?
Yeah, you got to look at that, and you're probably looking at your prospect pool thinking, yeah, it's one of these guys.
Like the first name that came into my mind, and I would be absolutely petrified if this happened, was you could get so much freaking return for Spencer Knight.
Yeah.
You could pretty much replenish your draft picks, like draft pick pool, with Spencer Knight.
Yeah. And
I do not condone it in any way, shape, or form, unless you're trading Bobrovsky and Knight for, I don't know, like, name the two best goalies, right? The two best goalie tandems right now.
There's none.
So, no, there's no
reason. But in terms of trying to get better, he's your best asset.
He's your best asset to trade away. Now, yeah, you can get into the prospect and Denisenko, obviously, but far, far, far less trade value.
Yeah.
And you would never think of parting ways with a guy like Saron Noel. So you're kind of...
It's Zimmer Samuskevich.
Yeah. So it's kind of in that ballpark of, like, what do you do now to create, you know, to make your team better? And I'm having trouble seeing.
Yeah, I think the only way you can do it is you're looking at the free agent market, and you probably got to move money out first. It's probably Patrick Hornquist going. Like, there are ways to do it, but it became a lot harder.
And now it becomes harder to get rid of Hornquist because you can't just pay Arizona to take him away because you don't have anything to pay for it.
No,
you can't give up the picks. So that's the really interesting part for me now is, like, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do in terms of that.
Yeah, and I get, like, yeah, and I think overall, like, this trade to me, my first reaction was it's really ballsy from Bill Zito.
That's one way to put it. That's, like,
and
that's
I saw
probably an understatement, yeah.
And I saw a lot of, when Matthew Tkachuk became available, there were a lot of Leafs fans on Twitter I saw that really wanted the Leafs to acquire him. And they said, this is the opportunity for Kyle Dubas' Kawhi Leonard moment, referencing when the Toronto Raptors went out and they gave up a core player, a fan favorite in DeMar DeRozan, to get ultimately a better player, even if it was maybe only going to be for 1 year. To me, what the Panthers did is kind of similar to that. They've given away a really good player, a franchise player, someone who's a fan favorite. You're going out on a limb. You're getting someone younger, better, but there's a lot of risk there for Bill Zito.
There's a ton of risk, and it's going to be really interesting. Now, the question I had, and there's no real way of answering this, is how much do you think this is going to affect the Panthers' locker room?
Well,
you know, because, I mean, like, Barkov and all those guys in the locker room, they're smart guys. Like, on the one hand, they know, like, it was Huberto. Like, he was been with most points in franchise history.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what you're losing. On the other hand, they're smart and they understand. I hope to God that they understand the landscape of the thing. That it was going to get even tougher salary cap-wise next season.
And I think
you're getting the better player.
Yeah, I think you need guys like that understand it's a business, and that's the way the business works, and sometimes tough decisions need to be made. Matthew Tkachuk, though, good friends with Sam Bennett.
Which is good.
Good for the vibes.
Which is going to be really fun to see the next Calgary-Florida game.
Oh, yeah.
Because especially here in Calgary, people are going to be agitated.
Oh, yeah.
And I might have to go buy tickets.
Oh, I would 100%. I might go and get a Tkachuk jersey. That's the thing. Like, you're losing a fan favorite, but, like, Matthew Tkachuk will be a fan favorite in no time.
With no doubt about it. So that's the only thing that, like, I don't mind the trade. I wish we didn't give up another freaking first rounder, but that's what it costs nowadays. The big concern is you look at Bill Zito, there's all this turnover in the locker room. Marchman's gone. Giroux's gone, although Giroux wasn't that huge part of the core, I like to think.
He was a rental.
You know, you kind of lose those players, you change the coach, you lose the former coach. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how the locker room, rebounds. I think it'll be fine because I think they're all professionals. They understand the business. And that's kind of the way you have to look at it. But I think that Zito is taking on a significant risk in doing so due to this, volatility.
Yeah, but I like the bet. I do. Like, it's risky, but I like it.
Listen, I'm always for trying to improve your team, and this is definitely a move that is, you know, he's trying to improve the team, and I will never, as much as I really like Huberto, I will, you can't be mad at Zito for trying to make the team better.
No, you can't be mad at that, and I think the way the season ended in the playoffs, right, and I imagine there's some stuff behind closed doors that there was some disagreements between management or between players. There's something going on there, I'm sure of it. But to me, with Bill Zito making this move, even if you look at the team today and you think this team's worse than last year's team, it's not always about being better. Sometimes you just need to be different than we were last year, right? Like, there are teams that have gotten knocked out in the playoffs and then gotten worse in the offseason and won the cup the next year. Mm-hmm. It happens time and time again. You lose players. You have to adjust. You just need to be different, and I think this makes them different in a really unique way by adding Matthew Tkachuk. And I think the Panthers are going to be a lot of fun to watch next year.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. We're done. We're recording in a podcast room. I think our time is up.
I think we're going to get kicked out.
We're about to get kicked out.
Calgary Central Library.
Yeah, so we're going to end the episode here. Thank you so much to everyone tuning and listening. We'll be back at some point with a brand new episode. So as always, thank you so much, and we'll see you all then.